Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
That is only God that can do it. Which no man can do. May God visit you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. God bless you, choir.
Amen and amen.
Let's be seated. Glory to God. What a sweet spirit we have in the house. Amen and amen. Let me tell your neighbor, your maker is the way maker. The one that made you is the way maker. And that's the title we are looking at this morning. Hallelujah. Halabako susu brekena hadish. Helebo shaparande dosi kabalaba. Himbro kotozila parindo siya pakaladishte. Harababa. Come on, say your maker is the way maker. Amen. Let's begin from the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 43. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43. Who is this way maker? Who is he? Who is this way maker? Isaiah 43. And then we look at verses 15 and 16. Hallelujah. Do we have it on the slide? All right, beautiful. I need more volume on this mic. Isaiah 43, 15 to 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Let's read together. One to go from verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. God will make way for you in the name of Jesus. All over the scriptures, we see God making way for his people because he is the way maker. Sometimes we look and we say, why do I have to go through this? If you don't go through certain things, there is no way the attribute of God as the way maker will be displayed. When you pray and say, God, show yourself strong in my life, what you are saying is that you want God to make a way. But for God to make a way, you have to be somewhere where there's no way, isn't it? So some of the things you are going through is not because you are wicked or evil or because you did something bad. It's an opportunity for God to show himself strong. He is the way maker. It's just like when you say, Jehovah, my provider. For him to be that in your life, there has to be a need, isn't it? Oh, El Shaddai God, there has to be a need. Jehovah Shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. There has to be a storm. And then it comes as Jehovah Shalom. Is somebody following me? So right now, whatever is in your life that looks as if I can't do this alone. I need God to make a way. Beautiful. Because God will make a way for you. Somebody with me? All over the scriptures, God is making a way. Case number one, the children of Israel, when they were in bondage, everything looked gloomy. It seems they will forever be slaves. because they've been in slavery for 430 years. Think about it. An average man will live 80, 90 years. And then think about the grandfather and the father and the son. All they know is slavery. That was the situation of the children of Israel. It was a situation in which it looks as if there's no way out. Is somebody with me? 430 years. Now look at Exodus chapter 1. Let's see something about what it says here in verse 13. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. It was with difficulty. Their lives were miserable. It was as if there's no way out. The situation looked gloomy. There was no hope, no flicker of hope anywhere. It looks as if God has forgotten them. So the little boy who is 15 years old, who is born into slavery, asks his dad. He said, "Daddy, are we ever going to get free?" And the dad said, "I don't know." "When did this slavery start, Dad?" "Go and ask Grandpa." So he goes to Grandpa. "When did actually I was born into it." That was their situation. "Are there some things your family were born into that you have accepted as status quo?" "Well, my dad had it, my grandfather had it. Maybe it's my destiny. Who says?" Tell your neighbor, God is going to make a way. Oh, all of us in our family, this is level of finances we ever get to. It doesn't get beyond this. Who says your own case won't be different? Is somebody with me? When you were younger, you didn't like your dad. "Oh, my dad didn't have money. He didn't do this." Now you are growing older. You are beginning to understand. And the story is beginning to look like the same. You have to say, "No. No. This can't happen to me. I'm serving a God who is a way maker." Glory to God. So the children of Israel were in a terrible situation. It was gloomy. It was bad. It was terrible. It seems there was not going to be any way. No hope for them. They were like abandoned people. They were praying. There was no answer. The grandfather said, "We've been praying for 250 years now. What? Oh, well, 250 years is small. My grandfather told me we've been praying for about 375 years. And there's no hope. Will God ever make a way? Can a nation be born in a day?" But what did God do? Did God make a way? God made a way by raising Moses. And God knew if Moses grew up in the midst of slaves, he would not be able to lead them out. "Can the blind lead the blind?" That's what Jesus Christ said. Both of them will end up in the ditch. So something has to happen to Moses, different from the experience of the children of Israel, in order for them to be free. But now he was born at a difficult time when Pharaoh was threatened about the way the children of Israel were reproducing, and then he began to fear that very soon their population would be more than ours and they would take over. So he said, "Every male son, throw them into the river, kill them." But when it came to the time of Moses to be born, because he was the deliverer, hello somebody, because he was the deliverer, his life was preserved. And then God organized that the very enemy of God were the one that took care of Moses. Is somebody here with me? Moses was born now, but he couldn't lead them out until 80 years after. Meaning that the way out for the children of Israel, God brought it into a practical expression 80 years before it became real. Hello, somebody. I'm trying to tell you that some of the things you think are far-fetched and don't have answers for, God already provided the answer. He's just waiting for the manifestation in its right time. Probably somebody, when Moses was around 15 years old, was saying, well, God has forgotten us. We are all going to die. There's no hope. But in reality, the solution was among them. Is somebody with me? So, Pharaoh's daughter raised up Moses right in the palace for 40 years. The Bible says he was learned in the wisdom of Egypt. He had understanding. He had education, because in those days, the Egypt had the most advanced educational system ever. He was learned. He was smart. So he grew up without the slave mentality. It's somebody with me. So that one of the things you have to fight in your life as you grow up is never to live in the midst of slavery expressions around you. You have to find a way to transport yourself out of this economic recession and live without rather than live within. Is somebody with me? Because if you weave yourself into the midst of that recession, then it becomes impossible to detach yourself from it. Our economy is from heaven. Hello, somebody. Our source is from God. I'll supply all your needs according to your riches. He will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So it's not dependent on the Nigerian economy. Is somebody with me? So Moses grew up for 40 years. And then he came around and he had a sense of calling. He knew there was an assignment upon his life. So he saw children of Israel, two of them fighting. He saw an Egyptian trying to beat an Israelite. And he killed the Egyptian. But it wasn't time yet for his deliverance. Hello, somebody. It was the sense of calling upon him that, you know, propelled him and provoked him to act the way he did. And so the people he was trying to say, look at him and say, who sent you? What's your problem? So he knew the news would get to Egypt, so he ran. And all of that was God's plan to deliver the children of Israel. Because he was learned in the wisdom of Egypt, now he has to unlearn some of the rituals and idolatry he has learned for another 40 years before he can be used of God to lead the children of Israel out. Are you with me here? That's why it's sensible that when you break a particular relationship, don't move into another one the next day. Take some time to unlearn all the hurts, disconnect from all the wounds before you move into the next relationship. Is somebody with me? So that's case number one. And then we saw how God made a way for the children of Israel. And when they were leaving, the Bible makes us to understand that God said they are not going to live empty. So slaves, come on, say slaves. Slaves went to their master. Imagine you having maybe somebody that's waiting on you, like an house help. And then house help comes to you, who is the madam of the house, and say, madam, that jewelry you bought from Dubai, that one, last week. No, not be that one. No. The one will be like $700. Bring her, I won't use her. That's what the children of Israel did. God told them to go to their masters and spoil them, because God said you won't leave here empty. Is somebody with me? If you go through a particular affliction, problem, test, trials, you're not supposed to leave empty. You're supposed to leave with your hands full of the glory of God. Is somebody with me? And the way you live without living empty is that in the midst of what you are going through, what is your attitude? Are you rejoicing or complaining? Because the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they left rejoicing. So it was the power of rejoicing that brought that glory into their lives, and they didn't have to live empty. Are you with me? So they spoiled their masters, and then they left. And then they got to the Red Sea, which was where God asked them to take. And they got there and everywhere was blocked again. Did God make a way for them? God made a way. In one of the greatest miracles that science doesn't understand till today, God parted the Red Sea and it went through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody says, well, did that really happen? Think about yourself and think about your life. You will see that there's some Red Sea that God has parted for you. Is somebody with me here? He is a way maker. Tell your neighbor, he's a way maker. Glory to God. Case number two we have here, Genesis 22 verse 2. The case of Abraham. In Genesis 22 verse 2, he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. You know, when you read verses like this, you need to sit down. I don't know about you. You got married, and then you are trusting God for fruit of the womb, and then it took you so many years, let's just say 15 years, and finally you have a son. And you are so happy, naming ceremony everywhere. And then at the age of 14, 15, or 10 years old, or thereabout, God comes to you and says, take your son, thy only son, go to Bereside. And offer him as a burnt offering. People of God, how easy is that? Think about it. See, those things you read in the Bible, they are not fables. They actually happened. And Moses journeyed for 3 days to Mount Moriah with enough time to change his mind. Now, the question I want to ask you is this. Did God know that he would do it? Hello? Answer me. Did God know that he's going to do it? He knows. Because the Bible makes us understand that God is omniscient. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. Before Abraham was born, God knew Abraham would obey. So why will God take him through that process again, to go through that process and for 3 days? You see, because the Bible says, without faith, you can't please God. So when you are walking in faith, in the midst of contradictions, God is excited. Is somebody with me? God loves it. So sometimes God knows your heart that you are going to do certain things. But if he tell you, do this. The Bible says he led them through Israel, through the wilderness, to test what is in their heart. Abraham got there and tied his son. Hey, what will it be like if your dad start tying you up? I said, Daddy, where are we going? Daddy says, we want to go and offer burnt offering. And you ask Daddy, Daddy, burnt offering. No cow, no goat, nothing. He said, don't worry. God will provide. And in the mind of Abraham, you are the provision, you are the offering. And so you got there. And your dad started. No, the children of the Bible are obedient. If your dad start tying you, you say, Daddy, wait. Let me check something on Facebook. I'll be back. You run away. The moment you have an inkling that you are the burnt offering, he said, Daddy, share and let me be. Ah, they told me, I did not look like you properly. I don't think I'd want to give back to me. You are going to run. But the Bible did not give any account that Isaac said anything. So he was laid on to be offered. And Abraham lifted up the knife, actually. People of God, think about it. Your dad raises cutlass to finish you. You'll be smiling at me. I mean, you say, Daddy, I mean, you use the other hand to block it. I said, no. I know a little bit of kung fu here. But it was Jackie Chan there. The Daddy, and you're in a pot of rain. Not me. You know, Daddy, you're already old. You're over 100. I'm just starting my life. I've not even completed university. You want to offer me? Daddy, let's use your pot of rain. God will accept you more. You know, you are the friend of God. You love God more. But offering, Daddy. Hello, somebody. He raised the knife, and the Bible says that God saw that in the heart of Abraham he's already killed his son, because he believed that God is able to raise him back. That was the only reason Abraham wanted to kill Isaac. And we understand from the book of Hebrews that if Abraham had refused his only son, then God will have refused his only son from saving us. So Abraham and God were in covenant, and covenant time says, what I do for you, you can do for me. What belongs to me, belongs to you. So because Abraham did not withhold his son, so God too could not withhold Jesus. So God said, because you have released your son to me, and then I'm going to release my son to you and to your seed. And that's why Jesus came and saved us. Hello, somebody. In verse 13, God made a way for Abraham. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Come on, say, God will make a way for you. Case number 3, Esther. A time came, and the children of Israel were about to be wiped away from the face of the earth. But we saw that God orchestrated the way of Esther into the palace, where she will be able to access the highest level of leadership in the land and to influence the decision taken to kill them. And so in Esther chapter 4 verse 14, Mordecai, the uncle of Esther, was talking to her. He said, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? In other words, the problem or the issue where the Jews found themselves, in which they were going to be killed entirely, God already made a way the day Esther was born. Are you with me? Esther was born in a faraway land, but everything has been orchestrated that Esther, you're going to move and relocate to this place. Hello, somebody. You are going to be here at this time, and then the queen is going to disobey the king, and the men are going to have a meeting and say, because the queen disobeyed you, we don't want our women to also disobey us at home. They say, the way the queen refused to come when you sent for her, all the other women in the town will witness that, and they will start disobeying their husband at home. So king, you have to remove this queen. So the king removed the queen, and then they needed to get another queen, and the next queen that came in was Esther. Is somebody with me? And Esther was only there because of the way that God has already made. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is that whatever situation you find yourself right now, your academics, your career, your finances, your business, any situation, God already made a way. You only need to align yourself and cooperate with God to enter into the way that He has prepared for you. Let me tell somebody, there's a way. How will God make a way? Isaiah chapter 43 verse 18. He says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Message translation says, forget about what's happened, and don't keep going over old history. If God is going to make way for you, you're going to have to forget the old experiences, the old situations you went through, the bitterness of the past. You have to lay them aside. And then in 1 Corinthians 10:13, we see something powerful here. He says, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Another word for temptation here is adversity. And what God is saying here is that there's nothing that comes against you that does not have a way. In the Message translation of 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have to face. All you need to remember is that God will not let you down. Let me tell you, neighbor, God will not let you down. He will never push you past your limit. Say, this situation I'm going through, it's going to kill me. You're not going to die. Tell your neighbor, you're not going to die. You are not going to die. Let me switch this fan off, please. He says, he will always be there to help you come through it. He will always be there. Tell somebody beside you is with you to help you go through it. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 19 tells us the nature of this way that God will make. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. Come on, say a new thing. How many of us love something new in our lives right now? You know, a brand new car is different from Tokubo. There's a difference, though. A whole lot of difference. There's a difference between a brand new wife and Tokubo wife. Brand new husband and Tokubo husband. Hello, somebody. Brand new shirt and Tokubo shirt. There's a difference. They will know. Won't they know? Hello, somebody. A brand new shoe and Tokubo shirt. There's a difference. The reason I like it is because it's from US. It's a lie. There are also new shoes from US. Say, you know, if it talks, it usually lasts longer. It's because you have not seen some brand new shoes. And why must you buy a shoe that must last long? After 1 year, find somebody to give. You say, this is the type I want. It will last like 5 years. Where's your faith? 5 years, man, where's your faith? The shoe is going down. You took it to shoemaker and said, put something on that level. Find somebody to give. Hello, somebody. Find somebody to give. When you are buying stuff, don't plan beyond 1 year. You see, this stuff is hard to last like 13 years. Tell your neighbor, brand new, brand new, brand new. I want to dedicate your brand new cars. Amen. And some people can't say amen. They don't believe it. Even if you don't believe it for yourself now, believe it for at least next year. Have some hope. Have some hope. If anybody told David that you will be a king, he would say, no. Stop deceiving me. If anybody told Joseph the night before he went to palace, I said, oh boy, tomorrow morning you're out of here. It would be unbelievable. If you were Joseph, you say, stop deceiving me. But in one day, come on, say one day. In one day, can a nation be born in a day? In one day, Joseph was transported to the palace from being a slave. That's like a prisoner in Kirikiri. And then the following day, he's in Asurok. Not to go and visit him, to become a minister, a prime minister. And they told them, I said, look at this guy. He's in charge of everything in this country. I am the only one that can overrule what he says. Whatever he says goes. I don't care how many years you have been commissioners, ministers, and state governors, and PDP chairman, and APC. This guy is now over all of you. You have to listen to him. When he's moving around in town, go in front of me and be announcing to everybody that it was a complete transformation, people of God. And that is what God can do. God made the way for Joseph in the prison. You are not in the prison now. Hello, somebody. Say, tap your neighbor, God will make a way. You are not in the prison. And see, the problem we have is that sometimes when God is making a way, you don't see it's a way. See, when Joseph, his problem began when he was sold, when he was thrown into the pit, right? That's the first thing. And right there, he must have prayed, God, make a way. But the way that God made did not look like a way, because now he was sold into slavery, never to see his father. It was a way, but it didn't look like a way. Sometimes God is making a way, but it doesn't look like a way, because you don't understand. That's why it's good to be thankful every time. And so he was sold into slavery, and went, and then Potiphar bought him from those people, and then he became a servant in the house of Potiphar. And then the question is, God, is this the way you are making for me? This is not fair. But God is actually making a way. The only legal way for Joseph to get to the banners was through an illegal prison. Hello, somebody. How will he get to palace? From where to where? How? He can't get there by walking. You see, he can't. If he had slept with Mrs. Potiphar, the best of his life would have been the chief servant in Potiphar's house. But because he refused to sin, it looks as if his life was going down. Because from being a servant now, he ends up in prison. But God was making a way. Oh my God. There are some times you refuse to put your hand in sin, and then it looks as if you have been punished for it. And the other person that sinned is having a nice time. And it looks as if you move from Potiphar's house to the prison because you stood for God. But God is making a way. Tell your neighbor, God is making a way. God was making a way for Joseph. It didn't look like it. The only way for him to enter the palace is for him to meet somebody that will recommend him. And the person that will recommend him was in the prison. Hello, somebody. Sometimes you don't want to go there because it looks like going backward. But the person that will recommend you for your next level is there. So something happens, and then they push you there, and then it looks like punishment. Hello, somebody. That there are some things in your life that happen that looks negative, but they are not negative. It's all in the process of God making a way. Come on, tell your neighbor, God is making a way. Tell your neighbor, God is making a way. In verse 19 of Isaiah 43, Message translation, it says, be alert and be present. Tell your neighbor, be alert, be present. This is not the time to stop, to start missing church and stop absenting yourself from services. He says, I'm about to do something brand new. It's busting out. Tell your neighbor, it's busting out. Then he says, don't you see? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert and rivers in the badlands. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 46 verse 13. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And of my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel. My glory. Message translation is what I want you to see. He says, I'm ready to help you now. Tell somebody, God is ready to help you now. Come on, say now. I'm ready to help you now. What's the next statement? He said, deliverance is not a long-range plan. Salvation is it on hold. I'm putting salvation to work in Zion now and glory in Israel. In Isaiah 65, verse 17, he said, for behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. You will forget about the pain of the past and the troubles of the past by reason of where God is bringing you to in the name of Jesus. Message translation of Isaiah 65:17. Pay close attention now. I'm creating new heavens and a new earth. All the earlier troubles, chaos, and pain are things of the past to be forgotten. To be forgotten. In verse 18, it said, be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Another translation says, look ahead with joy. Anticipate what I'm creating. I'll create Jerusalem as sheer joy. I will create my people as pure delight. And then verse 19 says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and I will joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Hallelujah. And then in verse 17 of Isaiah 48, Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. I am the Lord that leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee in the way. I will teach you to profit. Come on, say profit. By teaching you the way to go, the business to lay your hands on, even now. I am the one that teaches you to profit. I will cause profit to come into your life. God knows how to do it. Is somebody with me? God knows how to make a way. In the early days of pastoring, early 2000, 2001, 2002, thereabout, just started out pastoring a church in Ibadan. And then the rent was due, and the rent then was much, about 120,000. It looks small now, but then it was quite some money, 120,000. This is a time when the church income, the whole income for the whole month is less than 10,000 naira. We have a rent to pay, 120,000. When it was 1 week to the expiration of that rent, do you know what happened? They wrote us a letter from the housing and said, if you cannot pay this money by the 31st of this month, please vacate that place. We need it for somebody else. So I have 7 days to pay 120,000, and the church account has less than 10,000. I went to God. I said, God, you are the one that can make a way where there seems to be no way. Is somebody with me? On Monday of that week, one lady came to see me in the office. She was doing office hour. My wife and I were in the office. This is around 2002 I'm talking about. 2002 thereabout. So this lady came and brought this guy that was following him and said, Pastor, meet this guy, he's toasting me, he's disturbing my life, and he said he will follow me to come and meet you, and I don't like him, and he's asking me that. So I met the guy, say, how are you doing? And I invited him to church, and then the guy said, sir, please, I have a prayer point too. Can you pray for me? I said, what's the prayer point? He said, I have a contract, University of Ibadan, and it's been pending for a while, and they kept promising they would give, but they refused to give it. I said, how much is this? He said, 1.2 million. You know, the tithe of that is 120,000. Eh? When he said 1.2, my head rang back down. He said, when God is sending help your way, may you not miss your help. I say, no. You are not a member. We don't pray. Am I a prayer merchant? I don't pray prayer like that. Please, no. I said, I'll pray. I said, but first of all, do you pay tithe? Very important question. Otherwise, we'll get contract. Do you pay tithe? He said, no, he does not. I said, I can't pray. There's no anointing to pray. You don't pay tithe. I said, I can't pray. He said, no. I'll pay the tithe today. I said, you have paid the tithe. I said, kneel down. And I prayed for him. Passionately. With anointing oil. He said, the time to favor you is now. Receive that contract. 4 days after, Thursday, he came back to the office with tithe in his hand. Said he gave him the contract. Hello, somebody. I went to housing. I said, is it check you want or cash? How do you want it? It was a classic example. It might look small to you, but it was a classic example for my ministry there of God making a way. It's somebody with me. I relocated to this city. Year 2000. My wife was 7 months pregnant. So I said, let me get to this city first. On an instruction from God. And I've given away all my money. I didn't have nothing. And I needed to get a house. was not going to beg, and I was not going to make my needs known to any man. I said, God, you have to make a way. Where there, you see, if he said he will make a way where there seems to be no way, that's why he's God. If there seems to still be a way, then you can make way for yourself. But when it seems there's no way, when everything looks blocked, and so I told God, I started searching for a house without money. Have you ever been there? Searching for a house with no money, telling the angel, take me there. Oh, this house is not fine, people. It's not fine enough. You know? Finally, I got a house that I liked. And I went before God. I said, God, you've got to make a way. I got a house. What are you going to do? That evening, I got a call from an elderly lady. Called me on phone. I know very well, very close to us. I said, she has a laptop with her that her son wanted to dispose. Her son is looking for somebody that will help him sell it. Said, do I know anything about laptop? I said, I don't know. And then I dropped the call. And then I said, what did I just say? I don't know, okay. I called the guy, I said, I know. And really, I don't know anything. I said, I know. He said, hey. He said, well, the laptop, they said it's about 100,000. Once you can sell it for 100,000. I said, okay, no problem. I went and took the laptop. I looked at it. Showed it to a friend, an elderly friend that I was squatting with while I was looking for the house. He said, this laptop, I need to sell it to. He looked at it, checked it online. I said, this is around 180,000. I said, I know. It's like that. It's like that. I asked the person again. I said, how much did you say you should sell this laptop? He said, it's 100,000. I said, okay, no problem. They asked the man, I said, do you know who can buy this? He said, let's scroll down. There's this guy that asked me. Because the guy is an engineer. There's this guy that asked me for a laptop. Let's scroll down. And we scroll down. People of God, that guy paid cash. What is it again? I gave them 100,000. Paid my rent. Paid time. The problem is that you won't allow him to make a way. You take your own phone, you start making way for yourself. Uncle, promise me. Uncle says, don't worry, next week. Next week, you call Uncle. Uncle says, see, there's some things that just happened right now. See, the Bible says, woe unto him that trusts in the arm of flesh. The arm of flesh will disappoint because God does not want woe to come upon your life. Say, woe unto him that trusts in the arm. So the arm of flesh is packaged to disappoint you. You learn to trust in God. I can give you several examples where God made a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Where there seems to be no way. We got a land there. Some of you that just joined us. We used to meet across the road there in a small place that can seat only 90 people maximum. If you put 91 there, there'll be a problem. 90 maximum. And I was telling God, we need a bigger place. God, you've got to make a way. So we saw this land in Samunda. And we paid for that land. 3 years over $1 billion we paid for it, and after paying for that land, the owner of the land says, sorry, you can't put any structure on this land, you can't build, you can only put wooden materials or tent. I said, wow, wood, I don't like the idea of wood. Okay, tent. So I went online to search for prices of tent, and when I saw what the prices were, my faith ran out of my trousers. Escaped. 22 million, 25 million, 27 million, 30 million, 55 million, $1 million. Say, where are we going to start from? And then I went to pray. Say, God, we need you to make a way. And then God gave an instruction. Because this is how God makes way sometimes. God will give you an instruction. Two instructions. Number one, to sow seeds. Number two, he said, fast for 40 days. General fast together with the church. And he said, I will open the heavens. That was instruction. Are you with me? So we started fasting. We emptied the church account, gave it as a seed to prominent men of God, lost, sold everything. Then we're waiting on God. 1 week to the end of our fast, we got a call from somebody that said there's a particular tent in Lagos they want to sell for 8.5 million or thereabout. Of course, we didn't have 8.5 million, but we needed the tent. Hello, somebody. So we started negotiating through somebody. The person knows me. Eventually, come on, say eventually. It brought the price to 3.5. Come on, say good. But that's not the way God wanted to make. Then it brought the price down to 1.5 million. I said, wow, this is beautiful. So we got in touch with the guy. We're going to pay instrumentally 500,000 three times. He said, good. So send your account. Because the guy called me and said, they are bringing down the tent already. This tent. They are bringing it down. They will sell it to anybody. People are ready to buy. The pastor needs money. Say, okay, send the account number. Let's pay instrumentally. So they asked him, say, okay, Pastor Dunamis said the tent is ready. They are ready to pay. Where's the account? And the pastor said, let him come and carry it. Hello, somebody. 19 million naira worth tent. You can go and Google it. 500-seater marquee tent. Google it and see, check the price. 19 million. Say, we should take it free. Are you with me here? So we brought the tent, took it to the land that we got in Samanda, and then the tent was bigger than the land. I almost became sad. I said, what's going on here? I thought God was making a way. I thought he has made a way. How can God give us land and give us tent bigger than the land? So we started considering options. Maybe we should reduce the tent to accommodate the land, which is just like half of this tent. And then the guy that would reduce it say it's going to cost us 250,000 to reduce it, and the other part that is reduced will be destroyed. I say, that doesn't look like it. God, make a way. What are we going to do? So we left the tent there on the floor and we employed a security man. The tent was there for about a month. Over a month, it was just there. Rain was beating it. And I was like, what's going on? I don't understand. So we started looking for land. And then told the landlord that, sorry, we are likely to move away from here. The man looked at her and said, it doesn't concern me now. I've already taken your body. So we started looking for land. And then he called me. This space is available to be rented per square meter, 1.5 million naira. That time we don't have 1.5 million naira because we paid 1.5 million naira there. Are you with me? And the people here told me, managing here, and said, if I don't pay, they were telling me this on Monday, that if I don't pay before Friday, I should consider it gone. Because somebody is coming from UK that is has been bidding for this place for 3 years. Who will pay for it? I said, We went to a particular bank and talked with them to give us a loan. That's after God has warned me, don't go to bank. I didn't send you to bank. But you know, when you are almost looking like, so I went to bank. The bank looked at us, wasted our time. I said, actually, we don't give money to. So I said, what am I looking for before? Went back to God. And then that week before it elapsed, the landlord of that place called and said, please, where are you? Come and take your money. I said, okay, I'm somewhere now. Please give me some time so that we can. He said, you don't understand. I'm on my way to the bank now. Come and collect your money. That's how he paid us. And then we simply paid these people. And that's how we got here. Come and say, God is a way maker. Don't clap yet. Okay, you can clap. It's a testimony. But it has not ended. Because now we moved our tent away, begged somebody there where they're selling stuff here. Say, let's put our tent. It was still empty. Please, let's just put our tent. And then we're looking at land. We're looking at tent. The person that will install the tent is asking for 300,000. The bricklayers that will do all these things you see outside, build the toilets. Everything is running to millions. About 8.5 million naira. And we don't have 50,000 naira. And we have fixed the date of camp meeting. You know, you people can be very risky. You people. We physical meeting for the month of November. The date is counting. But you know what God did? This is the last thing I'm saying, and then we're going to pray. You know what God did? Come on, say the way maker. I was in my office. I was driving out. No, before that day when I was driving out, one guy called me from UK. I don't know this guy. He said, I'm a member of your online devotional. I just got an admission to UK to study in UK. And the money is a lot. Can you pray for me that they will give me scholarship? I applied for scholarship. And if they give me that scholarship, I will give a seed of $1,000 to the ministry. That was when dollars was 160K. So in my mind, it was like 160,000. Well, still money, sha. I'm looking for millions. Eh? So I prayed with this guy. And on this particular day when I was driving out, I just saw SMS. I just saw an alert in my bank account. 1 million naira. The guy did not even call to say, okay, I've sent money. I was trying to reach him, I couldn't reach him. So just pray for, you know, after you say, oh, you want to pray again for that person. I couldn't reach him. And that was how God supplied everything, every bit of the way. You see, the moment you align yourself to the purpose of God for your life, it will look as if you are doing magic. Everything will fall into place. People will look at you and say, ah, God answers your prayer, and you will know inside you that it's not prayer so much. It's so much of alignment to purpose and God making a way for you. My prayer for you this morning is that God will make way for you. Where there seems to be no way, stand upon your feet and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost and ask God to make a way for you. Come on, lift up your voice. Pray the Holy Ghost, Lord, make a way for me. Make a way for me.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at KHC Event Center, Joker Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.